Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, and I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Everything in between. Would that include Black Friday?
Yeah, because Black Friday is a part of everything. Yes, Black Friday. Do you like Black Friday, Puma? Is that a day you enjoy?
Let me just say that my wife has encouraged us to have memories, and we've made some memories.
That we have.
Memories don't necessarily mean that they're good or bad, but we've had some moments where we've been up early, freezing out in the cold, creating memories.
Yes, I feel like Black Friday starts earlier and earlier every year. Like on Thanksgiving, we have Black Friday deals. Come, you know, stand outside at, you know, 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, November 1st, we have Black Friday deals. So is Black Friday part of everything in between?
Yes.
Jesus and life?
Yes, I agree. Let's talk about Black Friday.
Sure, why not?
Let's do it.
Yeah, the Friday after Thanksgiving can be one of the most exciting or one of the most depressing days of the year.
Yeah, amen to that.
One of the most depressing days. I mean, in our house, month of November, Thanksgiving, I'm a huge Thanksgiving person. It's my favorite holiday. I want Thanksgiving. We get the one ads, or not the one ads, the newspaper,
the
ads and all that. And it's always laying them out, you know, Thanksgiving morning, and everyone kind of mapping out, you know, where they want to go.
All the things we'll never buy, but we want to.
All the electronics and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And you kind of lay them all out. And then it's like, oh, all right, but we got to get there early. I remember last year, you know, Mary got there like 10 minutes before me, and I didn't get in line quick enough. So we got to get out there an hour earlier and get the whole family involved. And, you know, I mean, Black Friday is a day where people express love and joy and graciousness and mercy to people, right?
Nope. Uno reverse card.
Yeah. It's a day that honestly, sometimes people, you know, get the thing that they're shopping for. But many, many times, and it's been, you know, our experience, many times Black Friday can be a disappointing day because you expect, you know, to get all these deals. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, most of them or half of them you didn't even get. And then you spend all this time, all this energy, and you really, are we happy? Are we full of joy? Was it a day of blessing?
Right after Thanksgiving, right?
Right after
the
Thanksgiving.
Most joyous. Yeah. Theoretically, the most thankful holiday of ever.
Right. So we have a day dedicated to being thankful, and the next day we express ingratitude at almost its like highest degree.
Yeah, there's very few ounces of gratitude that whole week, truly, in my experiences. Because even in college, I would have guys come back and, you know, how was Thanksgiving break? And how was like, oh, it was awful. And they're always disappointed, not necessarily because of Black Friday, but because whatever they expected, whatever idea of Thanksgiving break they had, it was just not what they had hoped for. And it was with relational drama, probably, you know, people talking politics, different relational stress,
families. People still stressed out because someone's not vaccinated.
Yeah.
Even still.
Right.
You know, so you got to eat turkey in a different room.
Right.
Or maybe out in a different building.
Right. Or just don't even show up. And it's just, there's not much gratitude on a holiday kind of dedicated to it.
Yeah, and on this podcast, and really for the next 3 weeks, we would just want to kind of address this issue of gratitude. You know, this subject for a month where, you know, the main holiday is Thanksgiving. We give thanks, and yet sometimes, especially here in the United States, it seems like that's the last thing that we end up doing is really giving thanks. We end up getting frustrated or angry, or just feeling miserable and grumpy and gripey and complainy versus being thankful and have this heart of gratitude. And not just a heart of gratitude toward my family, but also having a heart of gratitude toward my God.
Yeah.
And so we want to just take a few weeks just to kind of talk about that, some of the things that probably we all experience. And how can we traverse this Thanksgiving season in a way where maybe we could kind of push through some of the things that we experience and maybe grow and maybe experience a little more gratitude this year.
Yeah. In March of 2020, when COVID did their, you know, 2-week lockdown, and it was just a crazy time, I remember that Yale sent a bunch of emails out to people. My wife and I were like, okay, well, we can't do anything. We're on lockdown for 2 weeks. Let's take a CL class. And it was called The Science of Well-Being. It was an 8-week course. And we took this class in week three. It was on one word. The word was gratitude. And in this, and it's all secular, very secular opinions, very scientific. But in this class, this week on gratitude, she talked about how gratitude has nothing to do with your circumstances. It's actually a state of mind, and that's something you can choose to do. They had stats on 20 plus thousands of people who were clinically depressed. And if they spent just 6 to 8 minutes a day just writing out, talking about, or just sharing things they were grateful for, by the end of 2 months, they all, almost half of them, were able to get off their prescription meds. She's talking about Africa, one of the poorest countries in the world, all these third world different places in Africa. She's like, they're some of the most grateful people in the world. And yet, in America, we have a holiday. We have a Black Friday following this holiday, and we are so ungrateful. This whole concept of gratitude.
It's ungrateful, really, and unhappy.
Yeah.
And just feeling a sense of blah.
Right.
And then you get this Thanksgiving blah.
Right. Yeah. You can call it the holiday blues. And, you know, gratitude is not just important for your mental health, which it is. I mean, to be grateful is so important with your mental state of mind. But like you said, as Christians, you know, this holiday season for us who are listening, I mean, here in November, like, we are going to be exposed to not only our culture, but even our family and our walk with God. And how are we going to model? How are we going to be people of gratitude? And for this particular podcast, we want to talk about something that actually counteracts our gratitude, something that actually keeps us from being able to be grateful.
Yeah. And one of the things that, as we talked about earlier, that sort of robs us of gratitude is having unmet expectations, unmet expectations, or maybe unrealistic expectations, or expectations that are just kind of out of balance. Mm-hmm. And so it's like when I expect on a Black Friday to get this deal because I saw the ad and I actually have the cash and I go to the store and they only had two of these, you know, 5,000-inch TVs available.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And they were gone before I even showed up in line 5 hours early.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do I have a heart of gratitude that I even had the opportunity to possibly stand in line to maybe sniff a 5,000-inch TV?
Interesting. Yeah.
Or am I frustrated and angry and I get mad at the store, like false advertising?
Right.
And then that carries into how I, you know, view the people around me, because now I'm not really expressing a heart of compassion and joy.
Right.
I'm expressing one of angst and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And these leak out of us, right?
Yeah.
To the people around us, which then creates more angst and more ingratitude, because then the people around me are mad because I drag them out there
right.
at a time in the morning, and then I am frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they get mad at me. And so I expect them to be kind to me, right? I expect them to help me out. And they're not responding the way I expect them to respond to me, and they're not being supportive, and so I get mad at them, and blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
It just spirals. It does. Yeah. It really does spiral. And that's a good point, that being ungrateful really does spread around. It's a little bit contagious, you know, to quote Calvin and Hobbes, nothing helps a bad mood like spreading it around.
There you go.
and it's sad, but it's true, you know, and this whole concept of expectations, you know, I really do think that we have a lot of sometimes unknown expectations, that we just react to an emotional, you know, situation because we didn't realize we actually had a mental debt, or we expected somebody owed us something in our mind and we just didn't even realize it. You know, there's a story about expectations that I really think helped me out understand just how powerful expectations can really be. And so, you know, for the sake of the story, we'll just say there was this guy, right? He had a younger brother, and this older brother owed his younger brother, and we're just going to make up a number, say $1,000, right? His older brother owed his younger brother $1,000. Fast forward several months later, the older brother finally pays back his younger brother. The younger brother wasn't really grateful, like, oh, wow, thanks for paying me back. And I was like, well, you owed me $1,000. I'm not grateful for $1,000 because you owed me. And it's been several months since then. The concept of owing somebody something changes how you respond. If the older brother just, you know, gave his younger brother $1,000, all of a sudden, there wasn't an expectation of the older brother owing him anything. It was just a gift out of his own heart that this older brother would just gift him $1,000. And so the concept of owedness, that there is something about relationships where gratitude is stifled if we believe we are owed something. And I think that's true in relationships. I think that's especially true with God.
Yeah, the idea of when someone owes me, or I think I deserve this, or this whole entitlement mentality in our culture, I'm entitled to 5,000 square inch flat screen TV for $109, right? I'm entitled to
that. The commercial told me I deserve this.
Yeah, I deserve that. And so oftentimes our unrealistic expectations are tethered to what we think we deserve or what we think is owed us, not just, you know, from a store advertisement, but also what I think someone, people in my life owe me, what my family owes me, you know, what my parents owe me, what my spouse owes me, what my employer owes me. And I'm not just talking about a checkbook, but also like respect or you know, value or whatnot. And so when we think we're not getting what we owed, we're not thankful for what it is that we have. We have expectations that kind of almost steal gratitude from us.
Right. Well, and I like how you mentioned just like the boss or like just relationships we have. I think as Christians, we know we need to be grateful. We know that we're supposed to be loving and kind and encouraging. And yet, you're right, the expectation of somebody owes me this, it steals that joy. It steals that appreciation. If I believe my wife owes me to make dinner every day, my wife, you know, she owes me, you know, she owes me to take out the trash once a week. You know, if I feel like she's indebted to me, then when she does things for me, I'm not going to appreciate them because I feel like, well, of course she did it. She's supposed to do that, right? And so in our relationships, I think it's easily seen. I think it's almost less seen with God. I know in Scripture, we have a bunch of verses here before us, but in Scripture, we see over and over again that we are to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. We are told to give thanks, to appreciate God. And yet a lot of times, I think, at least for me, I feel like, oh, you know what, God, you owe me this. You know, I've done all these good things. I've been in ministry. I'm a pastor. I don't make any money because I'm serving the Lord in ministry, right? So you kind of owe me at least something, right? There's a part of my heart that leans that way where, you know, I've done all these good, quote, good things for God, right. And there's an expectation, and I'm disappointed, and I don't appreciate what God does for me because of these expectations.
One of the verses from Romans 13:8, part of our expectations come from what we think we deserve or others owe me or what I should get. Mm. When Romans 13:8 reverses that, it says, it's not about what is owed to me, but it's what I owe to others. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt that we have to love one another. In other words, sometimes too, the lack of gratitude is really thinking opposite of how we should think. An ungrateful heart expects from others. A grateful heart is a heart that gives to others, if that makes sense. It's a heart that gives what is owed, not expects what is owed.
Right. A grateful heart expects nothing but gives everything.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that verse too. And even just like before God, I love what Jesus said to the one woman in Luke 7:47, the woman that just like gave all this money, this super expensive oil anointment on Jesus' feet, which is a whole, you know, year's worth of wages. At the end of that, after Jesus corrects some of the disciples, he says, you know, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And that concept of, you know, if you think that God doesn't owe us forgiveness, and your perspective of God is, well, he owes me a little bit, so, you know, if he forgives me, well, of course he forgives me. He's a forgiving God. As if we just excuse that, we were not grateful for God's mercy. Because for this woman who just poured out a huge expression of gratitude on Jesus, she saw how sinful she was. And because she saw her sin, she knew she didn't deserve anything. She knew she didn't deserve God's love. She didn't deserve to even wash his feet with that perfume. Her perception of who God was, she knew that God did not owe her. And so she was so appreciative. And I think when it comes to God's mercy, we don't appreciate God's mercy because we kind of, at least for me, in the back of our minds, well, he kind of owes that, right? I mean, so this person's always this way. God's always that way. And we don't thank God for that.
Yeah, to take your story about the two brothers, right? So you got the older brother, younger brother. The younger brother lets the older brother borrow $1,000. And then when the older brother gives $1,000 back, the younger brother isn't grateful or thankful because, well, he's just giving back what was owed or what was deserved. Mm-hmm. Now let's think about this a little differently. Let's suppose the younger brother did not give the older brother $1,000, but let's say that the younger brother has been hostile and antagonistic to the older brother. He's jealous of the older brother, and actually the older brother seems to get all the perks and the younger brother always feels left out. So let's suppose that's the attitude of the younger brother. And now the younger brother, say, goes off to school and he's $1,000 short, right? He's been hostile to his older brother. He's been mean, said things that are just unkind and hateful. Mm. But now the younger brother, in spite of his hatred to his older brother, now he has $1,000 need for school. Yeah. And the older brother says, I would love to give you $1,000 to help pay that. See, the younger brother not only doesn't expect it, he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah,
because he's been hostile to his older brother. What kind of a heart of gratitude would well up in that younger brother when the older brother shows mercy
right?
to the younger brother, even though the younger brother doesn't deserve it? You see, we always think that we are higher or better or more deserving than we really are before God.
Yeah.
And so this heart of gratitude often turns into kind of bitterness and frustration and angst because we have these expectations for God and for other people. Even within the church, you have expectations for other, you're a Christian, so you should love me this way, right?
Yeah.
And I get mad because I'm not thankful for you as a brother in Christ. I'm angry with you or with a spouse. We've talked about spouse. You know, I expect things from my spouse, you know, that my wife owes me instead of reversing that. I owe her, you know, I want to give to her without strings attached. I've been reading in Proverbs, and one of the passages in Proverbs that really just highlights this for me is in chapter 2, where, you know, Paul says, remember, you used to be Gentiles by birth. I used to be an object of God's wrath. You were by nature sinful in our trespasses and dead in our sin because of things that we do, but it was our very nature. But then verse 4 of Ephesians 2 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. And that concept of God being rich in mercy, I've been pondering that this past month. It's the idea of riches that are beyond measure. It almost like the scene from The Hobbit when Bilbo is going to find the Arkenstone, and he goes in to the mountain, and you know the dragon is there, but you just see, I mean, as far as you can see, gold coins, and it just it, like
this wealth.
It's a wealth that can't be comprehended, a wealth that can't be measured. It is so unmeasurable. It is just like it's like mind blowing wealth that can't be. That's the idea behind the phrase that God is rich in mercy. That God's mercy toward us who are sinful by the things that we do because it is our nature to sin, that we, our very nature deserves the wrath of God, and that his mercy is so beyond measure that he wants to show it to us. He cannot not, he wants to give it to us. I don't deserve the love and compassion of God. I really don't. And I know that you don't either, Tony.
No, you're right.
We don't. We don't deserve that. But it's like the Ginsu knife commercial. But there's more. Not only do I not deserve this, but I get all these things. I mean, chapter 1 of Ephesians, you know, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Yeah. We've been adopted into God's family. We are forgiven people. We have been given the Holy Spirit as a seal and a deposit. It was love and his pleasure to choose us and desire a relationship with us before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Before I was, God knew who I am and would be, and he desired a relationship with me in spite of me because he is rich in mercy.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. That's to ponder the mercy of God, because we don't see what God doesn't do. You know, I was thinking about this. So on the interstate, 380, I was driving last week, and it was a long stretch of the interstate, and I was trying to merge on, and there was this car of seemingly guys my age, you know, some younger millennials, and I'm trying to merge on, so I speed up, and they speed up. And I'm like, okay. So then I slow down and they slow down and they're looking at me. They're laughing, pointing at me. And I'm like, guys, let me on. I'm going to miss my exit. I'm trying to get on. And it was a busy time of the day. So I didn't want to like floor it. So eventually I slam on my brakes, which I wouldn't recommend, rest on my brakes. And I hard swerve into the interstate. And they were like laughing at me, flipping me off. I was just like, why? And so as we were driving, I'm on this interstate for a while and I'm driving and I eventually kind of drive up next to them. And I thought, wow, I'm going to choose to show mercy to them. And I was angry, but I'm going to forgive them, let it go, right? I'm just going to show mercy. And so, you know, the rest of my day goes on. I end up going to my place. And on the way back home, I'm thinking, they're never going to know that I showed mercy to them. Like, these guys in the car are never going to know, are never going to appreciate the fact that I showed mercy. And it hit me. People don't see mercy all the time. In fact, oftentimes you don't go up to someone, hey, you know, I could have been a jerk to you, but I chose to forgive you. Because you don't talk about the things you didn't do, right? It doesn't get the fanfare. And yet God, like you said in Ephesians, he is rich in mercy. And how often do we just not appreciate or see how often God did not smite us?
Yeah. And that's characteristic of the heart of God. In fact, the Old Testament, that compassionate heart of God is talked about a lot. Do you see this in Jesus when he sees the crowds? I love the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, honestly, 5,000 people didn't prepare for lunch. Bunch of losers, right? They didn't prepare for that. I mean, today we would be like, oh, what a bunch of losers. You know, look at these people. How dumb are they?
Right.
And blah, 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 blah. And Jesus says, all four Gospels, you know, have this account of the feeding of the 5,000. They said that Jesus' heart had compassion for the people. In other words, you know, where we would mock people, or, you know, especially today, that's the way we do. We mock people when they, you know, don't make the right choice, right decision,
right,
as if somehow we're better than them. Somehow, you know, we have arrived, we have this lofty thing. And it says that Jesus had compassion to them. Or in Matthew 9, he looked at the crowds that were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And it says that Jesus' heart had compassion. That mercy is allowing your heart to hurt for somebody else. Let your heart ache for someone else. And our God, whose heart is rich in mercy, aches for us, who by nature are an object of his wrath. We deserve nothing, and yet he has shown mercy to us. And not just that, but graced us with so many blessings.
Right.
So how can we live as if we are owed by God, he owes us, or that people owe us, that we deserve from people, and kind of walk around with this heart of ingratitude all the time, as if somehow, if I don't get my way or my expectations aren't met, that I have a right to be angry, I have a right to be frustrated, I have a right to retaliate, I have a right to seek revenge.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all indications of a heart that is not grateful. And we're called to have a grateful heart, to give thanks always, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, you know, 5, to always have a thankful, grateful heart.
Right. Yeah, no, that's such a great kind of summary of our response. And I guess that leads into the next application question. You know, what's a good AQ for us on this concept of gratitude and what's we feel like is owed to us?
Yeah, well, we can't not have expectations. But we need to have realistic expectations, and expectations, when they're tethered to reality, are expectations that are tethered to God's word and what God says about us and what God says we should, how we should think. And so one question that I think is helpful for me, you know, what are some expectations that are robbing me from having a grateful heart? So this Thanksgiving season, this holiday season, you know, what are my expectations? And if those expectations go unmet, are they going to rob me? Are they going to rob me from the joy of being able to have a grateful heart? Because when we don't have gratitude, that steals our joy, it steals our peace, creeps into a humble heart and creates a heart of pride and arrogance. And so gratitude really is a kind of a linchpin for some of these other things in our heart. So, you know, what are some expectations that are robbing you of having a grateful heart this season?
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, what are the things that are stealing our joy, making us ungrateful. And I kind of want to just end with this verse too. I love Romans 2 verse 4. And Paul just hits it so clearly, and it really convicted me the last like several months. But, you know, Paul says, "Do you not know it is the mercy of God that leads you towards repentance?" And I just think about that. Do you not know that it is how much God has loved you and forgiven you and showed mercy upon you that leads you towards a changed life? Like, if you want to be a person of gratitude, if you really want to change, you don't want to complain. You don't want to be someone that just gripes all the time. You don't want to be someone that always feels like a victim, or that you're owed. You have this debt against society that you can't pay back. If you want to change that, focus on the mercy of God, because that leads you toward a changed life. So yeah, it's a great question. And we have every reason as believers, we have every reason in the world to be grateful. Well, guys, hey, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. And as we kind of have next 2 weeks to talk about this idea of gratitude, I just pray and that you, along with me, would just really think through the things that are stealing our joy and just choose to be grateful. Let the world see that we have been adopted and chosen and have been shown mercy by God Almighty. Guys, we appreciate you, and we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10. Bye.
Bye-bye.